like to welcome you as we gather on this Lord's Day. Those of you that were able to be here, we have a number of folks that are battling illness and stuff, which is normal for this time of year. And then we have a whole family away for a wedding up in, I think it's in Rhode Island, but I'm not sure. Pray for Pastor Bell as he does that wedding of one of his nephews. A special welcome to Dr. Rodney Allen. He'll be performing with Dr. Dean at our offertory and postlude. Did I get it right, Candy? Postlude? Thank you. Often I say the wrong words, so you have to kind of forgive me for that. A reminder, if you would like to give to our Christmas offering, you are still able to do so. You can use a Christmas envelope or one of the pink envelopes and note it for Christmas offering. That's for the PCA's Ministerial Relief Fund. Please be reminded that there are even some now newer Christmas cards in the back and also envelopes for 2024, so please do that. Pick those up on the way out. A reminder, with the email blast system, if we've gotten a couple of you that have written some nice reviews through that, but if you haven't done that, it would be a wonderful thing to do. It helps to draw people to our website and hopefully then either to being with us virtually or in person would be fantastic. Bible studies, today is the last day to sign up. If you would like to order one of the study guides for the first for the three epistles of John, there is a blank sign-up sheet in the back. I've just been collecting them each week so that we can get stuff together. The cost of those is $10. If you give that money directly to Julie or myself, that would be helpful. Things that are coming up. First, something that's not. I am not your best church secretary that this church has ever had. Sometimes I miss stuff, and thank you to our bulletin readers that noticed that I still have in there a Christmas Eve service at 6:30 tonight. At 6:30 tonight, you're welcome to go online and watch the Christmas Eve service from last week, but there's no service tonight, although maybe that's something we need to add to our future. Anyway, let's see what else is going on. Next Sunday, if you are able to stay, I know this is going to break hearts for some, especially Jeannie and people like her. Following the worship service next week, we need to take down the Christmas decorations. We'll keep them up through worship on the 7th, but if you're able to stay to help us after the service to return the sanctuary to its normal, that would be most helpful if you can give us a little bit of time. Also, there's a note in there that as today is the last day of December, the last day of 2023, it is 123123 is today's date. If you are able, this isn't if you're able, this is absolutely due. For those people that write reports for our congregational meeting, you know who you are. If you write a report every single year, those reports are due next or by Sunday, January 21st. So you have some time, but please don't make me chase you down. It's enough to have to put it together, print it, and have it for you as well as everything else that is on my schedule. So if you can get those to me as quickly as you can, that would be greatly appreciated. Speaking of all that, we can grow weary from the list of things that are going on in our lives. And so we're reminded that our Lord does not grow weary. He does not grow faint, though we do. And so He, the God of our salvation, strengthens us to serve and to worship Him. Let's be called to worship with these familiar verses from Isaiah chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Won't you join me as we pray? Father, often we are a weary people living in this fallen, this broken world, struggling with bodies that are affected by the fall. So, Lord, we are blessed as your people to gather, to be nourished this day by your word, to find our strength renewed by you, the God of our salvation. So, Lord, we pray that you would minister to us as we seek to worship you. Father, bless us, for we have come to worship in the precious name of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we gather together of our great Redeemer. We'll sing hymn number 199, See Amid the Winter Snow.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This morning we'll read responsively from Psalm 90, a psalm of Moses, actually. We'll hear a good bit from Moses this morning. But it reminds us that the Lord our God has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Yet Moses is honest. He wrestles with the weariness of living in this world, the struggle that it can be, but at the same time, he ends with a prayer. His prayer, "Establish the work of our hands upon us." Amen. Establish the work of our hands. Let's read this psalm responsively. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn again to us and say, "Return, O children of man."
For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, or as a watch in the night. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we must escape.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80.
Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are still gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Return, O Lord. How long? Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad for as many days as you have forgiven us, and for as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. One of the things that touches me about the scriptures is just its honesty in dealing with the struggles that we face in this life. Moses acknowledges that head on, and David frequently does in the Psalms. And so I have printed here Psalm 6 with very minor adjustment, just to turn it into a prayer where we acknowledge our weariness. We come to the one who alone can renew our strength. Let's read these words as our prayer, looking to the Lord for his strength. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am weary. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my trials. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? But I know that you, O Lord, have heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. David found comfort in the knowledge that our God hears and responds. The God who saves us strengthens us to do what he has called us to do. And so, though we often focus on the beginning of these verses, the fact that we are saved by grace through faith, but God had a purpose in that we would be strengthened to do the works that he has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So let us hear of God's great grace yet nonetheless his calling upon us. Indeed, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The hymn writer acknowledges that life is difficult. We walk a weary road, but we rejoice in the one who has brought salvation to us in the midst of that. And so we'll stand and sing together hymn number 200, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Thank you.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to the Lord for prayer, let me just make mention of a few of these things. Please, again, per the email we sent out, be in prayer for Angela's cousin and her children as they mourn on Christmas morning the death of her husband and father. So I'll be praying for Essie Bomberg, E.C. I can barely get my name right, you know. But please, be praying for them. It's good seeing Sylvia, but we need to continue to pray for her. Update on Anna. Anna had a procedure done on Friday to deal with a broken vertebrae on her back. It was shattered in a lot of pieces. They did a good bit of work. She's got some lingering stuff from that, perhaps a pinched nerve. It's hard to tell. But there's much more to go on this road for Anna. So please continue to keep her in your prayers. I also received an email this week. We, month two at most, transferred at their request, staff and Judy Greenwell, to Dayspring Presbyterian Church down in Glen Burnie, where their son Kyle is a member, and they go and they worship with him. So that's a good thing. But the pastor, Mike Horrigan, sent me an email this past week. Staff is apparently in the hospital and not doing well. He did not wish to share any details, and he specifically asked that we simply just pray for staff and for Judy. Those of you that have known Judy for a long time, he has specifically asked that you not call her in this time. Maybe later, but not now. So we will keep you up to date as we know. I don't have a clue as to what's happening with staff, but the Lord knows, and so we can go to him in prayer. David Newman just shared with me a message as well from Ralph Martin's daughter, correct? What's that? His wife, sorry. Ralph fell, and Ralph was our organist. He fell and broke some bones, etc. And while in the hospital, had some rather severe complications to where they had to do some emergency surgery. He's currently unconscious, so we need to pray for his recovery and just pray that the Lord blesses in that situation as well. We also have that traditional, it hasn't changed, fourth prayer request. Sometimes it's third, sometimes it's fifth, to pray for our family members who are sick and ill. And church family, we have a lot of folks that are sick and ill. Libby had to go to patient first this morning. Ken's been battling stuff. Lots of people have been battling different things. So continue to keep one another in prayer. As you see folks missing, understand a lot of folks, December is that time of year as the temperatures change and the everything changes around us and we start gathering with people, colds, etc., quickly make their rounds. And so we have the privilege that we can go to the Lord, the one who renews our strength. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice to be able to come into your presence. Lord, we confess that we do come weary, for walking in this fallen and broken world, we deal with the pains of falls and breaks and colds and flus and all sorts of things. We face surgeries and medical procedures, long recoveries. Lord, we are tired and we are weary. So, Lord, we look to you, our great physician, the one who renews our strength. But we cry out with the psalmist and cry, and how long? Lord, we long for the day when Christ will return and all things will be made new. These colds and these breaks and all these things will be no more. Lord, we look forward to that day. But until then, Lord, we, We pray that you would continue to sustain us as your people, that you would strengthen us, that you would mount us up on wings like eagles. Lord, we ask that so that you may be praised all the more, that others would see your hand at work within us and so be drawn not to us but to Christ. Lord, we ask that you would do that work of uniting your church, of purifying your church, that you might present us holy and blameless, spotless, as the bride of Christ. Lord, we long for that day, and until then, we pray in the words your Son, our Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It's our joy to worship, even to worship through our giving. This being our last opportunity to do so for 2023, I pray that you're able to give generously to conclude the year. But as our ushers come, won't you give to the glory of God? Now rejoice to corporately give. Let's stand and sing the doxology.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice to give for the glory and honor of Christ. Father, take what is given, use it for your purposes. Lord, direct it for your glory, for we give in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'd encourage each of you to turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7, as this morning we'll reflect upon the Lord's gracious promises contained within that one verse. Now, when we left off, actually, 2 weeks ago in our study of 1 Corinthians, we'll return to that next week, we were considering Paul's use of the history of Israel during that time of her wilderness wandering, as following the Lord's redemption of his people as he brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of their bondage. Paul made use of Israel's failings in the desert wanderings as a means to present before the church proper warning. Warning with regard to their own sin, even to warn us with regard to our own unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to the God who is the God of our redemption. Well, this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 2 reminds the same people of God's faithfulness throughout the entirety of that 40 years where they wandered through the desert. The words of God here are given so that the people of God would reflect upon his blessings in their lives, that which is abundantly showered upon them. And they can remind us as well of his presence with us, even as we face all of the trials and the pains, the brokenness of living in this fallen and broken world. They remind us that as we are united to him, we truly lack nothing, the Lord reveals to us through Moses. Our God has blessed us in the same way. This past year has been one of tremendous blessing here at his church. But the Lord doesn't say, oh my goodness, today is the last day of 2023. I have to pull out a new calendar with a new agenda for 2024. No, the Lord's unchanging faithfulness, his promises to us are continued, his presence with us, and his blessing. And so we can turn to this text with tremendous hope. We can do so with tremendous joy, but we have to do so, as with every text of the Scriptures, with a sense of urgency. These are the words of the immutable God, the God who does not change. But before we turn to the Word of God, let us come before the face of God in prayer. O God, our Savior, the one who has named us as his own before the very foundation of the world, the one who in time sent his Son to live a sinless life on our behalf, to die a criminal's death on a cross in our place. The one who with the Son sends the Spirit to indwell us, to draw us to Christ, to work faith and repentance in us. So now, Lord, we come to your word seeking to be nourished, seeking to be strengthened, seeking to find you. Lord, lead us as you led your people. Nourish us as you nourished your people, for we rejoice that we are yours. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Hear now the word of God, his truth, the truth, his blessing for his people. I'll read Deuteronomy chapter 2, just verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Have you ever been just so weary that you felt like you just couldn't go on, not even one more step? Maybe you feel that way this morning. That weariness can be physical, it can be mental, it can certainly be emotional. And as we gather here this morning at the tail end of the holiday season, maybe you're just plain worn out. Worn out from travel, worn out from family, worn out from just, well, just about everything. But as we come to this verse this morning, we have to understand the people of Israel, they were weary. They had been slaves in Egypt for nearly 400 years. Now, obviously, none of those that Moses is addressing had been slaves for 400 years. But other than the youngest, these people had known the bitter and weary life of a slave. They were weary. And then came that deliverance from Egypt, which brought that difficult trek through the wilderness, followed by a 40-year wandering around holding pattern because of their own unfaithfulness. No doubt the people were weary. They were exhausted physically. They were exhausted mentally. And they were exhausted emotionally. So Moses comes to them in the midst of their weariness, and he says, "Don't you understand that the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand?" He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. He tells a weary people, a people weary like us, that the Lord has blessed you and he will continue to bless you. That is, the Lord has blessed his people. He will continue to bless his people. It's not a universal declaration to the world. This is a statement to the covenant people of God, and only to the covenant people of God, to his redeemed. And so Moses begins actually with a benediction, if you will. The word should sound familiar to us. The word benediction literally just means good word. "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands." With regard to this acknowledgement of Moses, I think there's three simple questions that we have to answer. Who? Who is it? Who has done what? And then that who has done what with regard to what else? So we begin with that question, who? And the subject of Moses' answer is the Lord your God. The Lord, all capital letters, which we all should remember at this point means that what's actually present in the Hebrew text is the name Yahweh or Jehovah, depending on how you want to point it. It's literally what is there in the text. This is the covenant name of God. It's the name that he revealed to Moses as he sets Moses apart, as he ordains him to be his mouthpiece, his redeemer for his people. The Lord is the God who saves. It's that aspect of our God that Moses is seeking to put before the people here. Yes, the Lord is our warrior king, and he's shown himself to be that through the wilderness wanderings, but that's not what Moses is drawing their attention to. Yes, he is the God who has created us, but again, that's not Moses' focus. They're all always presence, for our God is all things. But he's specifically focusing on the fact that the Lord is the God of our salvation. He is our Redeemer. He's the one that brought them out of Egypt. He's the one who saves from sin. And so Moses adds then that this saving God must be your God. It's not enough that he's just the God of salvation. He must be individually the God of your salvation. He must be the God that you are personally clinging to by faith. He must be your Savior, and by extension, he must be your Lord. Understand, you cannot have one without the other. You cannot have Christ as your Savior if he's not your Lord. We have to submit to his sovereign will in our lives. And yes, sometimes that means we go through the trials and we go through the weariness. He must be the one that we submit to when we're strong and when we're weary. The one that we submit to when we're overcome with joy and when we are struggling. The God who saves, the God who saved you, is the who that Moses refers to here. But the Lord then has done what? Moses writes, the Lord your God has blessed you. Has blessed you. Grammar being important. It's given to us grammatically as a past tense. But it's done so in such a way that it was past, but it continues into the present and indeed will continue, as we'll see, through all of eternity. The Lord, as he became the God of our salvation, the Lord began blessing us at that time, and as we'll see later, that blessing continues and continues and continues. You know, we use that word blessing a lot, but what does the word blessing actually mean? Blessing can be used in a way that honestly is somewhat synonymous with the word grace, to receive what we do not deserve. And we frequently use the word in that way. You know, you might even this past week have been moved by a Christmas gift that someone had given you and you declared it to be a blessing, something that was not deserved. But the greater biblical sense of that word to bless is that of declaring holy or setting apart. I have blessed it. I have set it apart. I have named it as holy. At the time that we were called, when we were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ by the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, as he brought us to faith, as he worked repentance in us, as we trusted in Christ, he once for all, but with continuing benefit, he set us apart, he declared us as holy, he blessed us. But there's a specific sense, actually, that Moses refers to the Lord's blessing here. He writes, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. It is the work of our hands that Moses says has been set apart by the Lord and blessed. So Moses knows that the Lord has heard his prayer, that which ends Psalm 90, let the favor, or let the grace, let the blessing of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Amen, establish the work of our hands. The God who has saved us, the Lord who blesses us, who sets us apart, he sets apart the works of our hands, those works done in faith by his people. They are the good works that must accompany saving faith. James writes all about that. Those of you in the Bible study, we've talked about it a good bit. They are the good works that the Lord prepared beforehand that we might walk in them, as we read earlier from Ephesians chapter 2. So the Lord prepares the works. He calls his people to do the works, and then he sets those works apart for his purposes. And he graciously establishes them, he says. He makes them to stand. The Lord our God blesses the works of our hands. This is an important reminder for a weary people. Those works the Lord calls you to do in faith, sometimes we don't see fruit from them, and we wonder, Lord, are you going to use them? Lord, I'm just not seeing it. But understand this, the Lord always uses the works of faith of his people for his ultimate purposes. They bring him glory, and as we'll see, and as we see from the verse at the top of our bulletin, they're for our good. But it can often be difficult for us as we're weary to see that in this life. And so Moses continues with a second encouraging statement. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. The saving God is also the God who knows. He knows that wilderness, the desert places, the weariness, the trials, the pains, the struggles. He knows them, he says. He knows it, first of all, omnisciently. Our God knows all things. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite in the scriptures. It speaks so much of the infinite nature of our Lord. But here David speaks of the infinite nature of the Lord's knowledge. Even before a word was on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it altogether. Before I even think the thoughts that I think, before I say the things that I do, before I do those good works, the Lord knows them omnisciently. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from his vision. So the Lord knows omnisciently the trials, the pains, the struggles, the weariness. But the teaching of the scriptures is that the Lord also knows these things providentially. The God who knows is the God who ordains. As our confession states, in accordance with Ephesians 1:11, God ordains whatsoever comes to pass. I got to tell you, for a lot of people, that is a challenging statement. God ordains that I'm weary, that I'm struggling, that I'm going through this trial, that I need this surgery, that this cancer has shown up, that this back got broken, that this person I love is in the hospital. But I got to tell you, for myself, I find great comfort in that truth. There's nothing which comes upon me, nothing which comes upon any of us, which our Lord not only didn't, or which he didn't know omnisciently, but it's that which he is sovereignly purposing for our good and for his glory. That's Paul's statement that we have up at the top of the bulletin from Romans 8:28, that God is working, actively working all things, not just those things that we consider good, but all things. He's working for the good of his people. The people that are his, those for whom he is the saving God, those who are clinging to him personally in faith and repentance. So our weariness is known to God, and it has a purpose in his good, pleasing, and perfect plan. That trial that we are going through right now is known to God, and it has a purpose in his good, pleasing, and perfect plan. We can find comfort in that. It's not some random thing beyond God's control. He's using it for our good and for his glory. The Lord knows our desert places omnisciently, and he knows them providentially, but he also knows them experientially. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest. In other words, we don't have a saving Lord who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, with our weariness, our trials, our pains, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Last Sunday morning, we sang the Christmas carol, Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus. In that hymn, we sang these words, Come to earth to taste our sadness. Jesus tasted ours. In fact, he tasted sadness beyond what we can taste. He faced the trials and the pains, again, beyond what we do. But he never sinned. He didn't do, as Job was told, well, just curse God and die. And maybe we feel that way in our weariness. He didn't question the Lord's goodness. Why, O Lord? Why, O Lord? Why in heaven's me? He didn't question the fact that God would use even his ultimate suffering for our good and the Lord's glory. The Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, experienced all that we experience. The Lord, the God of our salvation, has set us apart, blessed us, blessed the work of our hands. He knows what it is that we are experiencing, and he is working all things for our good and for his glory. So Moses continues by reminding the people, the Lord your God has been with you. For this entire 40-year period of their wilderness wanderings, again, the Lord, the God of your salvation, the Lord your God, he has been with you. Here we touch on something that we've been trying to drive home for the last couple of weeks. First, the Lord is with you. You're not alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. When you're put in that fiery furnace, you're not alone. There's another there with you. So you're not alone in that trial. You're not alone in that pain. You're not alone in your sorrow. The Lord your God is with you. Indeed, the Lord has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a comfort to the weary. I will never leave you, God says. I will never forsake you. I am with you, working even for your good in the midst of this trial. As the song says, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain, for your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never, never walk alone. Okay, that's a secular song, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, I know that I never walk alone, for the Lord our God is with us. But the promise that Jesus makes that I tried to drive home last week is that in the person of the Holy Spirit, not only is our Lord with us, he is Emmanuel, but the Lord our God is within us. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, indwells the people of God. He has made us his dwelling place. We are a temple, the place where God lives. He is the seal, Paul writes, the deposit guaranteeing that eternal dwelling in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. When I ponder that, I am constantly overwhelmed by this very fact, that a wretch like me, one who still continues to prefer my sin, is the very one in whom the holy and righteous agent of creation, the one who drew me to Christ, the one who is working sanctification within me, the eternal God has taken up residence within me, and not just me, but all of us who are believers. We are a spirit-filled, spirit-nourished, spirit-led people of the Lord our God. Okay, yeah, we do grow weary in this world, but that's just simply a product of the fall. But even in the weariness, the Lord our God is with us. He dwells within us. And then Moses rejoices in one further fact. Because the Lord is our God, because he knows our continuing trials in this life, because he is with us, even indwelling us, Moses rejoices to proclaim that you have lacked nothing. You know, when we're weary, we tend to focus on what we believe we are lacking. When we're just focused on the world around us, our hearts are overwhelmed by what we think we need, what we lack. But Moses declares from the Lord, you have lacked nothing, nothing. Here he specifically points to the past. You have lacked nothing. The Lord has redeemed you from the house of bondage, from your slavery in Egypt, from your bondage to sin. Throughout these 40 years, the Lord has provided you with direction. He has given you his word. He has led you by the pillar of cloud and of fire. He has provided you his Redeemer to stand in your place, to stand between you and God. He has miraculously provided your daily bread when you didn't even have to do a thing for it. He's given you that necessary drink for your refreshment. He's protected you from all those who would bring you harm. Indeed, Moses could say to the people, you have lacked nothing. And the same is true for us. We may not have always what we, in our worldly vision, in our worldview, in that which is captivated by the technological covet box we all have in our family rooms, called a television. We might focus that we don't have what we want, but as those great philosophers of our age, the Rolling Stones, as they sing, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, you just might find you get what you need. Oh, weary one, oh, one beaten down by this world and by the trials and the pains, reflect on God's great mercies to you, his great grace to you in the past. Rehearse his goodness, for indeed, when it comes to what truly matters, you can proclaim with Moses, I have lacked nothing. I have lacked nothing. That's past tense. But Moses speaks that to the people as a declaration to be a present comfort to them. The Lord made sure that you lack nothing. See, he's not abandoning you. He's going to assure you that in the present, you will still lack nothing. Don't let the world, don't let your own flesh, don't let anything give you a heart of discontent. Americans are some of the most discontent people in the world, yet we are some of the most blessed by the Lord. The Lord has provided. The Lord that has provided is the same Lord that is providing right now. He is the same yesterday and today. As he cared for you in the past, so he has promised that he will never leave you, never forsake you. So that remains the case even as we sit here this morning. Even as you walk through those trials, he is with you presently, providing all that you need. Now, many of you, if not most of you, are probably well aware that I left something off when I just quoted Hebrews 13:8. For the Lord not only promises that he is with the same yesterday and today, but the full statement is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, we deduce that in the Lord, as we have lacked nothing, and therefore as we currently lack nothing, the same thing is true of our eternal future. We shall never lack any good thing. God's grace will not reach an end. Oops, I ran out of grace. God's mercies will know no end. Well, I was going to take care of them, but I don't have enough mercy. That's not our Lord. His provision will never be found lacking. As our Lord has blessed, as he is blessing, so he will bless into eternity. God, in his good, pleasing, and perfect will, by the work of his providence, provides all that we need. He does so in the good times and in the trials. He does so when we are healthy and when we are sick. He does so by the streams of living water and by the valley of the shadow of death. In the Lord, because he himself indwells you, you lack nothing of what you truly need. So, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. As 2023 comes to an end, are you weary? Is your strength faltering? Do you wonder how it is that you can go on just even a bit further? Consider God's abundant grace. That which has been lavished upon you, the scriptures say. His grace which saved you, which overcame the tremendous gulf between ourselves and him. His grace which sustains you even now. As you consider his grace in the past, let the immutable nature of our God bring comfort in the present. Let it bring you hope for the future. Let it carry you in the weary times. For the Lord our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you are in him, he says, you have lacked nothing, and he will continue to uphold you through all of the trials of your life. So, my friends, as 2023 ends, 2024 begins in a few hours, cling to Jesus. And he, as we read from Isaiah, he will renew your strength. He will even carry you into his own precious arms, for he has blessed you. He is blessing you even now, and he will keep blessing you throughout all of the ages to come. Let's pray. Father God, we deserve nothing of this. It is grace. It is mercy from beginning to end. But Lord God, we rejoice that you are the God of our salvation. Lord, I pray that if there are any here this morning that are not trusting in Christ, Lord, do that work by your Spirit within them. Work faith, for the works of our hands cannot bring blessing. It cannot bring strength. It only brings death. Lord, we thank you for the life that is ours in Christ. We thank you for the hope in Christ that is ours. Lord, we pray for your people who are weary. Lord, remind them of your grace and your mercy, of the certainty of your promise that you will never leave us, never forsake us, for you not only dwell with us, you dwell within your people. Lord, might we be a people who in every moment sing your praise. And Lord, we indeed would rejoice all the more, and we would do so in Jesus' name. Amen.